morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Sadi Vav in Zvach, and we're starting at the Mishnah. We're in the Mishnah on Sadi Hamid Beis. Upcoming today are issues about Kasher and Kalim, about Yoredeya, no Saint Tom bar, no Saint Tom. Some of the bigger issues that come up in Hilchos Yoredeya, and Hilchos, but a little bit of Basar B'Cholov, a little bit. Some big issues. Echa shabisha bov echa shira l'socher oseach echa kashikachim v'echa kashim kalim tu nimriku ushtifa. We learned already in Parshat Tzav, the end of Perek Vav, in the Torah describes that when you cook a chatas in a pot, so you need to kasher, the pot. The Torah doesn't say kasher, the Torah says mariku ushtifa. Mariku, we assume, means hagala, we assume means expunging the taste by boiling water in the pot. And shtifa means rinsing the pot afterwards. Okay, we do need to try to figure out a little bit better what exactly that means, rinsing the pot. In other words, hagala, you've removed the taste. So what have you accomplished by shtifa, by just rinsing the pot? Okay, well, we'll come back to that later. We'll discuss that a little bit later on as well. Okay, but still, the mitzvah satara is that when you cook carbon chatas meat in a pot, so you have to do mariku shtifa, and the special chiddush, meaning you have to always do that. In other words, whenever you want to expunge a taste out, you have to do hagala, you have to boil the water in order to expunge the taste out. Right? What's the special halacha over here? Is that it has to be done in the azara. You got to do it actually in the temple courtyard. So the Mishnah tells us whether you cook in that pot, or your ma'are bo, or you pour into that pot, meaning so you're taking hot chatas soup and you're pouring it into that pot. That pot also is going to require hagala. It's also going to require an expunging. And it doesn't matter what we are, what kind of carbon we're working with, kachikachim or kachim kalim. It all requires mariku shtifa, the special halacha of gi'ul, of removal in the azara. Okay? Now that's a big chiddush, the Tanakhama's opinion, that we're talking about all types of karbanos. Why is that a big chiddush? Because if you look at the Parsha is only talking about the karban chatas. And the Parsha actually says the words kachikachim. So it sounds like from the Parsha that this halacha, that you have to do you have to kasher in the azara, is restricted only to the karban chatas. Okay, so this is a big chiddush, and again, we'll come back and discuss that later. And Rabbi Shimon Amar kachim kalim ain tu nimriku ushtifa. Rabbi Shimon says that your kachim kalim do not require mariku ushtifa. So let's take a look at Rashi on the Mishnah. It's the only Rashi on the Mishnah, but really helps us navigate through the complexity of this issue. Because what does Rabbi Shimon hold? That you don't have to kasher pots if shlemim was cooked in the pot? That can't be. Of course, you have to kasher it. So look at Rashi over here. Over Gemara Mefarsh Taima, the Imta Mahari Abalua Nasa Nosar. So Rashi over here asks the question, formulates the question beautifully, meaning, I don't understand. Even if it's just shlamim, right now this is Rashi explaining Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Even if we're just talking about shlamim, eventually the taste in the pot is going to become nosar, right? All tastes of karbanos are like the karbanos themselves. The karbanos have an expiration. So if it's a shlamim, it's a 2-day period. After the 2-day period, it becomes nosar. The taste as well becomes nosar as well. So Rashi says, so I don't understand. Rabbi Shimon says, if it's shlamim, you don't need to kasher. Of course you need to kasher. The taste is going to become nosar. So Moda Rabbi Shimon debay hagala beroschin. So Rashi tells us, of course Rabbi Shimon agrees that you're going to do hagala, that you're going to kasher the taste from the pot. Umitaras merika ushtifa hu dimemai lay. It's just the special halacha of merika ushtifa. When I say the words merika ushtifa, it's a special kachim halacha. Meaning in the world of kashering pots, of course you have to kasher it. In the world of merika ushtifa, the special halacha, so that is what Rabbi Shimon says, is what is excluded from kachim kalim. And we're going to see the Gemara later on. We'll have a similar discussion regarding Truma. We're going to see later on that when Truma, also you want to expunge the taste, so you need to do Hagala and not the special Halacha Mariku Ushtifa. Now later on we're going to learn, and again it's a little bit complex, but later on we're going to learn that when it comes to Mariku Ushtifa, it has to be in water. Regular hagala can be done in other liquids as well. Okay? Not universally accepted that position, but Rashi cites it over here. Rashi is just trying to show us that there's a special halacha of mariku ushtifa by karbanos, And then there's the regular halach of hagalah, of just simply removing the taste. So if it's the regular halach of removing the taste, everybody agrees. I don't want the shlamim taste in there. I need to get the shlamim taste out of there. Everybody totally agrees to that. It's just that when we are discussing the special halacha mriku shtifa, that's what the Tanaim are arguing about. According to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, it applies to all karbanos, kachim kachim and kachim kalim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it only applies to kachim kachim, not to kachim kalim. Okay. No, that's exactly the point. Yes, you do. Of course you do. Everybody agrees you need to do hagala. Everybody agrees. It's just a special halacha of Mariku Shtifa. What makes it special? So number one, it has to be done in the Azara. Can't be done outside the Azara. And number two, Rashi cites from the Gemara, which hopefully we'll get to by the end of today, is that it has to be water. It can't be
a
boiling water.
Boiling water. Does Hagala remove the taste?
Huh?
Does Hagala remove the taste?
Hagala will remove the taste. And
so it's not a question of nosa anymore.
It's not a question of nosa anymore. It's just a question of the
so
special.
What does that do?
Nothing. It doesn't do anything. Other than, I mean, it's not a small thing, other than just fulfill the mitzvah
sa. It doesn't do anything.
Correct. In the world of kashering and removing taste, it doesn't do anything special. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan shetivu shabo, ein lo ela v'shebi shabo. Ir l'socha rosech minayin. What if I just pour it in? Because look, I'm a shetortis. Even if I just pour it into a pot, it's also going to require Mirka Shtifa. Tamalama Vasher Tivu Shabol Yishaver. So the pasuk says, Vasher Tivu Shabol Yishaver. I don't fully understand, if I may be candid. I don't fully understand the drush over here, how the drush works exactly. Rashi explains it to me. I don't fully understand Rashi. I'll continue to be candid. But the Rashi says that since we've connected the words Tivu Shal and Bol, and it doesn't say, right? Rashi writes, I'll read the Rashi. Mi disamak yishaver eitzel bo. We take the word yishaver, we put it right next to the word bo. Volo kos of im bekli cheres tuvu shal yishaver. Lemidrash im nivla bo mikoma kom yishaver. All you need is a blia, and that's it. And then there's a special requirement of shvira, of breaking it. So again now, let's gather ourselves over here. What we just learned in the Braisa essentially is what we saw in the Mishnah. But now we're really spelling it out. If I have, if cooked a chatas meat in a pot, so if it's a metal pot, I need to kosher it. If it's an earthenware pot, I need to break it. Okay? And we're going to add one level of chiddush on top of that. Even if I didn't cook it in that pot, even if I cooked in a different pot, and I poured it into this pot, same thing. If it's metal, I got to kosher it. And then if it's earthenware, I got to break it. Okay? One more time, it wasn't that long ago that we did the machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and his brother, the Rashbam, Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir. We're going to do it again, because Tosfos over here does it, and we'll do it again. So, and when I'm pouring into a pot, that's what we call irui. Meaning there's something called cooking in a pot, which it means I put the food in the pot, I put a fire underneath the pot, I'm cooking directly in the pot, right? Is there a blia, is there an absorption into the walls of the pot? Of course, the heat and the liquid cause a full transference of taste from the liquid into the pot. Okay, that we all know, that we all understand. There's a full blia. What if I'm just pouring into a pot? So in other words, the food was cooked in another pot, the food is piping hot, but now I'm pouring. So certainly the act of pouring diminishes the amount of heat, but is it still considered cooking? Even though this pot is not where it's actually cooked, it was cooked in another pot, transferred and poured into this pot. This is what we call irui. Irui kli rishon, pouring from a kli rishon, is that considered bishul or not? From our Gemara, sounds like yes. Sounds like absolutely. Because what are, huh? Right. What is our Gemara telling us? Our Gemara is telling us pretty clearly, actually, that if I poured into a klei cheres, right, I got to break it. If I pour into a metal pot, I got to kosher it. Sounds like irui is like Kli Rishon. So if you look at the very top of Tosfos, it's a long Tosfos, I'm just touching it, we're just going to do the Machlokis between Rabbeinu Shmuel and Rabbeinu Tam. So Mikan, Midaktik, Rabbeinu Tam, Deirei Kli Rishon. Rabbeinu Tam says, look, let's take a look at the Gemara and really listen to what the Gemara is saying. Iru is like Kli Rishon. Midachashav Kimavushal, because what Gemara is essentially saying, that pouring into a pot is no different then cooking in the pot. So Rabbi Natan is consistent. He's consistent like this throughout all of Shas. We've seen in Zvachim, I don't remember which stuff. We saw earlier, Rabbi Natan said exactly the same point on a different Gemara, that Irui is likely Rishon. Now, according to Rabbi Natan, it hurts us and it helps us. Right, meaning that according to Rabbeinu Tam, ear is likely rishon, so that it's a full blia in the pot. According to Rabbeinu Tam, ear is likely rishon in terms of kashering the pot as well. Meaning, if I have a pot and I need to kasher the pot, so how do I do hagala? I boil water in the pot. According to Rabbeinu Tam, how can I do hagala by pouring hot water into the pot? That also would serve as Hagala, because Irui is like Kli Rishon itself. It's like cooking in the pot itself. Okay, that's Shitas Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says Irui is like Kli Rishon, and his brother, his older brother, disagrees. So, Lefishen and Mizbashim, I'm sorry. Rabbeinu Shmuel, fifth line down, first narrow line in Tosfos. Rabbeinu Shmuel, I am a doctor, Dirik a Kli Sheni. He goes, no, Irui is like Kli Sheni. Now, as a general rule, we say Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashal. That no cooking happens in a Kli Sheni. Right? This cup of coffee that I'm holding in my hand right now, this is a Kli Sheni. Right? We didn't cook the coffee in this pot. Coffee was cooked in that pot over there. And over here was transferred into this pot. This is a Kli Sheni. We generally assume no cooking happens in a Kli Sheni. There is an issue of Kali Habisho, which is not our issue for today, because that already takes us well beyond where we want to be. But and so therefore we tend to be more machmir on Shabbos, and we tend not to cook things in a Kli Sheni. Okay, that's not for now, but they're just the general principles, the general concepts. So Rabbeinu Shmuel disagrees, and he says, no, Kli Sheni, Irui, is like Kli Sheni. So now what you have to try to figure out is, how is Rabbeinu Shmuel going to understand our Gemara? Because our Gemara says that, the Mishnah says it very clearly, that when I pour, I pour into a pot, so if it's earthenware, I got to break it, and if it's metal, I got to kosher it. Well, why? According to Rabbeinu Shmuel, Iru is like Kli Sheni. And Kli Sheni, there's no Bishul in Kli Sheni.
There's no Bishul, there's Bliya.
So you want to distinguish between Bishul and Bliya. That's tough. Why? It's a tough. Why is that tough?
It sounds good.
Because it sounds like...
It's a Nosa. The Nosa is from Bliya, right? I was talking about.
Right, right.
So that's the crux of the matter, is a Bliya, not the... cooking itself only.
Okay, it's not what you're saying is it's not unreasonable, but it's difficult. Rabbeinu Shmuel, hayem adaktik diriku kli sheni mehadanam beperakira. So first of all, Tosfos quotes his proof, and his proof is very strong. Gemara in Shabbos says ha'ilfas v'akdera she'evira mirotzchen lo yitin l'socho tavlin. So demash mahala aros mehem ala tavlin shari. If you want to pour, right, from here, from the pot that you cooked in, onto Tavlin, this is Irui, right, pouring from a Kli Rishon, sounds like from the Gemara over there that would be permissible. also, again, this is now we're getting to parts of Tosfos where it's going to veer us too far off course, but Tasagavar, it's an issue of hot food going on top of cold food going on top of hot food. The one that's on top is dominant, meaning if the hot one's on top, it's dominant. Tasagavar. Okay, not for now. Anyway, the point being that machlokus between the two brothers, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Shmuel, how to treat Irui, our Gemara seems to significantly favor the Rabbeinu Tam approach, that Irui is like a Kli Rishon, because our Gemara is telling us that when you do Irui, you got to kasher the pot. You got to break the Kli Cheres. Okay? So our Gemara really speaks to the position of Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam says it straight out, that our Gemara speaks to his position, and you have to somehow arrive at some defense for Rabbeinu Shmuel from our Gemara. Okay. By Rami Bar Chama. Okay, Rami Bar Chama asked the following question. Big day in Rami Bar Chama world. You're going to see some insights into Rami Bar Chama, which really, Rami Bar Chama comes up a lot in the Gemara, right? You'll see his name a lot in the Gemara. He's a very popular Amora. Very interesting, by the way. My observation, Rami Bar Chama, is that he always asks questions. Meaning, you'll almost always see Rami Bar Chama. I'm not a database. I don't take numbers. You know, I don't count how many times. But generally, I find that Rami Bar Chama asks questions, which often are left unresolved. It's funny, after today's Gemara, it all clicks, it all makes sense. But we'll get to that a little bit later on this morning. So, by Rami Bar Chama Taloba, Avir Taner Mahu. Let's say you do the following. Okay, we now have learned the special halacha of Shviras Kli Cheres, that if I cook Chatas in a Kli Cheres, I need to break it. Now, when the Torah says you're cooking the Kli Cheres, what's the Torah care about? The Torah care about me cooking and transferring the taste into a Kli Cheres? Or how about if I just cook in a Kli Cheres without transferring taste? What? Right? That's a neat trick. But it's doable. Let's say I suspend a piece of meat, I roast a piece of meat, and I like hold a spit of piece of meat in an oven. It cooks in the oven, but there's no transfer of taste. Transfer of taste needs a medium. I need a way to get from the taste from the food into the pot. So if I cook in a liquid, there's your medium. So it's going to transfer through the liquid. But if I'm just roasting food on a spit in an oven, so I have quote-unquote bishul, right? We know it's not formally bishul. Bishul is usually in liquid. But I'm cooking in the oven or in the pot, but without a transfer of taste. Is the Torah then going to require me to do for medel shtifa, mriko shtifa, for earthenware shvira? This is Rami Bar Chama's question.
What surface are you talking about? There's a spit. The food's on the spit.
We're talking about the oven.
The oven.
Yeah.
It didn't
touch. The meat's not touching any.
It's going to get dripped on.
Okay. So if you're right. So if it's going to get dripped on, so then fine. Let's assume that there's no dripping. I know. In other words, just conceptually speaking, he just wants to know when the Torah says when you're mevushal bo, does that mean bishal equals blia? Or just bishul by itself?
No.
Meaning just the if I'm doing. Yeah, yeah.
And in general, we assume. I mean, sli and bishul, like you said. Sli, general,
right?
Like for carbon pesach, you can do sli, but not bishul.
Correct.
I mean,
correct. We're using right. 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 Those right.
That's the question.
Right. No, it's. It's such a. In other words, he just wants to know: is this mitzvah all about bliya? That's essentially what his question is. Meaning, all right, I'm gonna suggest don't get lost in the bishul versus sleeve versus because I'm with you on all that. He just wants to know: is bishul all about bliya? Is that what's going on over here? Is that what the Torah cares about? Or no? If I'm just doing an act of bishul in the oven without bliya, if bliya weren't in the equation. Does there need to be Shviras Kli Cheres and Marikan Shtifa by Kli Mateches? Okay. So by Rami Bar Chama, Talaba Avitar Mao, Abishal Ubliya Hu Dekapit Rachmana? Is the Torah really care about Bishal and Bliya? Is this all about Bliya? Oh, Dilma Bishal below Bliya, Bilua. Or no, maybe if I'm cooking in the oven, in this case roasting, but again, that's not the important issue. If I'm doing something in the oven, preparing the meat in the oven, without there being a blia, is the Torah also demanding shviras kli cheres and merikun shtifa by kli mateches? I'm Rava Tashma, so Rava says, well, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Echad shebishul bo ve'echad sheira l'socho roseach balu. I'm sorry, l'socho roseach balua. I'm sorry. Period. So what do we see in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah talks about where either I cook in it. Or I pour into it. Either I cook in it or I pour into it. So what do you see in our Mishnah? That you don't need both. You don't need Bishul and Bliya. One of the two is good enough. Now if you're following the Gemara carefully, you realize Gemara just pulled a fast one on us. Because that wasn't Rami Bar Chama's question. Rami Bar Chama's question was, you did Bishul but without Bliya. And the answer that Rava provides to him is, well, you see in our Mishnah, and our Mishnah with the Irui, there's a transfer of taste, but there's no Bishul. So the Gemara says, Balua below Bishul lo kami bayalan. Wait a second. I never asked that question. You answered, but that wasn't the question that I asked.
It's kind of halfway there.
Right. You just gave me the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is talking about where there's a Bliya, no Bishul. Mm-hmm. Right? I.e. Irui. I'm asking the other question. I'm asking where you cooked in the oven, but there was no bliya, there was no transfer from the food into the walls of the oven. So again, listen carefully. We're discussing a case where I'm roasting meat in the oven. Let's assume no drippings. Let's assume, right, reyach, right, the aroma, the Gemara Navodah Azara raises that issue. Maybe aroma will transfer taste, but essentially it doesn't. Aroma doesn't transfer taste, especially if there's exhaust, meaning if there's way for the aroma to leave. So there was no transfer of taste. All I did was just simply cook, in this case, roast in the oven. That's Rami Bar Chama says. That's the question I'm asking. Tashma Damar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravu Atana Shal Mikdash Shamateches Hayah. Well, we know that the oven in the Beit HaMikdash was made out of metal. We have a tradition it was made out of metal. Meaning, don't ask. I'm telling you it was made out of metal. Now, the Isak Adach HaBisha B'lo B'lua Lo Kappa Ne'avisha Cheres. So the Gemara says, that's funny because usually ovens are not made out of metal. Usually ovens are made out of earthenware, right? Just a better material to make ovens and to bake and roast inside of it. And meanwhile, in the Beit HaMikdash, it's made out of metal. Right? Why? So the Gemara says, if you think Bishul without Balua, the Torah doesn't care about, so make it out of earthenware. Meaning, what's the big deal if you make it out of earthenware? You're going to tell me, oh, because every time we cook in it, I have to break it.
Right.
Yeah, but there's no blia. I'm just roasting inside of it. And again, we're going to assume that it didn't drip. And that's difficult. But there's still...
It says here,
It'll drip onto the coal.
The coal, it'll never...
Okay, fine. Or a drip pan. I was thinking about a drip pan also.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, or whatever. Okay, but lo kapit na bishul cheres. So the Gemara says, so why not make it out of cheres? What do I lose by making out of cheres? It must be, says the Gemara, that all I need to do is just bishul, even though there's no blia, even though there's no absorption, and there still is this halach of shvira. So I can't make it out of kli cheres because every time I roast in the oven, we got to break it and get a new one in. It can't be. So the Gemara says that you're not right. Meaning that's not why the oven in the Azara is made out of metal. Why is it made out of metal? Kevin Dika Shayar Minachos Taf Yasam Batanor Viko Bisho Belua Abdun Shamateches. Because you're only focused on the Chatas meat. That's not the only thing that's put in the oven, in the Azara. Shayare Mincha, right? All the Minachos that are brought by non-Kohanim. The rest of us, right? All the menachos that are brought, so a comment is put onto the mizbeach, and the rest of it is eaten. Yeah, but before it's eaten, it's got to be baked. Where is it baked? In the oven.
Yeah.
Oh. And there, it's not just simply suspended in the oven, it's actually pressed against the walls of the oven, and there you have both bishul and balua. So since you have the shayari menachos, where there's bishul and balua, That's why the ovens can't be made out of clay cheres, because had they been made out of clay cheres, they wouldn't need to be broken.
What would be the problem?
Because the Torah says, clay cheres yishaber. You got
to
break it.
That
refers to
menachos?
It refers to any time, yeah.
How do we know?
Because menachos are kachikachim. You're right. In other words, I could just simply have said...
That's a jump.
Well, it is, but... In other words, in the Mishnah, it's not a huge jump. The Mishnah says that this halacha applies to kachim kachim. And according to the Tanakhama, even kachim kalim. Now, menachos are certainly kachim kachim. Menachos can only be eaten in the Azara by the Zichrei Kahuna. How tanur da'atchu ba techaya. Okay, now we're going to go from, we're going to do this a lot today. We're shifting from the Beis HaMikdash and the special Allah Hamrika and Shtifa, and we're going to go now to basic Yeridea, right? Basic Issur V'Heter. There was an oven to Atchu Batechaya. It was smeared. It was smeared with the fat of a tail of an animal, a meat. Okay, so Asur Rabba Bar Yila Lemichla Lerifta LaOlam VeAfilu BeMelcha Dama Asur Lemichla BeKutcha. So Rabba Bar Yila came up with the following psak. He says, you know, if you bake bread in that oven, that bread now is fleishik. Okay? Oh, sure. Meaning, you smeared a layer of fat, animal fat, over the walls of the oven. Okay? And then you stuck a piece of bread right on that place. Remember, their oven, their bread, they baked right on the walls of the oven. And then you stuck it right on. So now the bread is infused with the taste of the meat. So now you have meat bread, fleishik bread. So he says, Rabbi Bar Yila says, you can't eat that meat ever, even by itself. Now the bread, now you think to yourself, what's wrong with bread? Meaning, okay, so I infused it with a taste of meat. Well, I do that every Shabbos, right? If I may share with you some of my Shabbat habits. Mm-hmm. So we put marrow bones into the cholent, and then what I do is I take the marrow bone out, and I'm right now the only one in my family who does it. No one else has a stomach for it. And I spread the marrow right onto my bread. So I love it. So I do it. So what's wrong with it? The problem is, now that's fine. You may not like it, but that's fine. The problem is that if I make bread in of itself, in other words, not smear meat on it, but actually have the bread infused with the taste of meat, usually the assumption everyone has is that bread is parv. And what's going to happen now is that someone's going to take that bread, assuming it's parv, and rub some, right, spread some butter on it, put a piece of cheese on it, and eat it like that. So therefore, as gzeira derabanan, bread that has meat taste in it, right, real tam basar, is asur la'olam. Now that part, by the way, that part is correct, meaning that's not the controversial part of his psak. Everyone agrees to that, right? Yeridayim. It's straightforward halacha. Right. By the way, when you go to the market and you look at breads, and you'll see some breads, right, same brand, same company. Some breads will have an OU, and some breads will only have the letters K and then followed by a D. Right? What is that? It's confusing. But what that is that those breads that don't have the OU on it, those breads have a little bit of milk in it. And we know that bread is not allowed to have any either milk or meat, either one of them. And so the OU will simply say, look, if you're putting milk into your bread, we can't give you a hashgacha. And K, anyone can put a K on their products. That doesn't mean anything. So, okay, so that's the...
That's different.
That's issues of reyach and zeyah. But we're talking about where there's just a real transfer of taste. Okay, so they ask your local rabbi. So meitzvah. So the Gemara says. So that part of Rabbi Bar Yila, by the way, that's not controversial. The controversial part is that last word that he said. La'olam means forever. Meaning, not the bread, the oven. The oven's also forever. So meitzveh, so the Gemara says, well, we learned on a bright saying, lashon asisa b'chalav. You're not allowed to knead dough with milk. And if you do so, the bread's going to be asur. Mimnei hergal avera, because, as I explained, because everyone's going to assume that the bread is parv, they're going to take the milk bread, right, and they're going to put a piece of pastrami right on top and eat pasta v'chalav together. And okay, so the Chachamim said milk bread is therefore going to be asur. Kayot v'bo, similarly, just on the other side of milk and meat, ain't tashin es atana b'alya. You can't spread fat, shmaltz, meat, right, shmaltz of an animal over the walls of the oven. V'im tashal kol pasta sura ad shiyasik es hatanur. However, there's a way to fix things, which is, right, just heat the oven again, and heating the oven again, kosher the pot. Okay, now, at this point in time, let's make sure that we have a really good understanding. There are two methods of koshering, okay? And what the Gemara is doing now is it's going to another method of koshering. We'll just use terminology that we're all familiar with in the Yoredei HaTaharovis world, right? But one method of koshering is what's called hagala. Hagala is what we were describing in the Mishnah. That's boiling water in a pot, and that expunges the taste from the pot. That's hagala. There's another method of koshering, which is called libun. Libun is, right, fire. Heating it up so that what's happening is that the taste that's embedded in the walls of the pot get totally burnt out. Now, those are two different methods of koshering, and not to be compared with one another. Libun works, now I'll say it now, although you'll see I see the Gemara that we're about to see in just a moment is going to contradict what I'm saying. But I'll say it anyway, because, okay, you'll see that it seems to be the correct conclusion. Libun works even in Kli Cheres. Even earthenware pot. We always say earthenware pot is so porous, the taste goes so far out. You can't kosher an earthenware pot. Correct. By boiling water in it, you can't kosher it. But if you heat it up, if you do libun, libun works even in an earthenware pot. Because libun is not expunging the taste. I can get it all out, but I could burn it. Okay, so libun, get firing it up and heating it up again, and you know, in other words, libun is not just 300, 400 degrees. It's getting it to the point where it is white hot. The word libun by itself actually means that. Libun comes from the word lavan, right? You get it white hot. If you do that, so you're not trying to get the taste out. It's full destruction. You're going in there and you're actually burning it out. So, from what does this brisa teach us? Rabba bar Yila, you're not right. You say that the oven is asur la'olam forever. That's not true. All you need to do is libun to the oven and you kasher the oven. Not kashering with hagala, but kashering with libun. So to yufta de Rabba bar Yila, to yufta. Right. So I also, in other words, when I first read his statement, right, but he says la'olam. I also,
if you bake again, it's still also
right. It's funny, when I first read the Gemara, I also was bothered by what's going on. I also thought it was going on the bread. The Gemara clearly understands that he's talking about the oven. I'm with you. I didn't understand it that way.
If you bake again, the bread is still, you know, no matter how often you bake.
Okay.
I
understand that, but in of itself, in other words, if you just took his statement out of context, I agree with Rabbi Tirschwell. I could have understood his statement to be just going on the bread. The Gemara clearly doesn't. The Gemara clearly understands that he was talking about the oven.
Why would you assume it's not? I mean, if you bake it, it's not good. You know,
right.
But, I mean, what can you do with the bread? You're going to do libun on the bread?
I understand.
Obviously, it's talking about the oven.
Okay, fine. So that's, you're with the Gemara. That's how the Gemara understood.
Rabbi, this would not work with touch.
No, this would is this is
stent- right now, his statement was not.
Of course, of course. Wait. Well, again, I told you
we're gonna
do this a couple of times. We're gonna go back and forth. We're shifting back and forth.
Yeah,
we'll shift back to Kashim in just a moment. Okay. So Tiyufta de Rabbi Bar Yila Tiyufta. So Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi V'chime Achad the Isus of Rabbi Bar Yila Amay Amar Rav. So the Gemara says, okay. So now Rabbi Bar Yila, he's out of the discussion. Totally out of the discussion. Meaning he's wrong. Libun kashers. Even kli cheres. So Amar Rav, but on the other hand, we know that Rav says kederes bePesach kishperu, that if you have earthenware pots for Pesach, so Rav says, ladies and gentlemen, break it. there's nothing you can do. You can't kasher your earthenware pots for Pesach, right? Your forks, your knives, your metal pans. That's fine. You'll kasher that for Pesach. That'll be fine. But you're unaware, so Rav says to everybody, you got to break it. There's nothing you can do.
Why so, are you breaking them?
Because.
Just leave them for a week and then use them
in for a week. Meaning, right? Why isn't he just. Why not sell them?
That's
what are you suggesting?
Sell them. Do what everybody else in this room does.
Right? Maybe he's saying the ones that you'd want to use for Pesach. Maybe
when he says break,
okay.
It just means that you
can. All right. Anyway, okay. Point well taken. I'm not sure. So Amalei Rav Mukilahi b'shamateches. So here we have what we call tchias amesim, meaning that the Gemara totally annihilated Rabba Bar Yila and said, you know, of course you can do libun to. To earthenware. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that brisa that you used to demolish Rabba Bar Yila, maybe that brisa is not talking about earthenware. Now, if you look back at the brisa which the Gemara quoted, that's the brisa of Ein Lashon Esayisa Bechalav V'Imlash Kol Apas Kul Asura Mimnei Her Galavera Kayotze Bo Ein Tashon Esatona. That whole brisa, maybe that whole brisa is going on a metal oven. Now that's not a solid answer. It's not a smooth answer. We normally assume ovens are made out of earthenware, but could be that Bryce is talking about metal, and it could be that had it been earthenware, maybe Rabba Bar Yila would be absolutely right. Maybe it's not kasherable even with libun. The Gemara suggests that as an answer. The Gemara immediately moves on to another answer. It seems from the Gemara, just from the simple flow of the Gemara, that the Gemara suggests it but doesn't really hold by it. Also, by the way, when the Gemara first brings the brace against Rabbi Bar Ilah, the Gemara does say to Yufta, which usually means we've solidly refuted and finished off Rabbi Bar Ilah. So it's a little clumsy over here, just a little hard for me to understand. Right? After saying to Yufta, the Gemara goes back and resuscitates him for just a moment. Only then to move on to another answer. Okay, but anyway, Ibai Yisema. Another answer, Batanga Shacharis, Zeh Yisekum Yibifnim, Zeh Yisekum Yibachutz. Okay. The Gemara over here provides for us now fundamental answer. We've seen this together in the Daf Yomi cycle. Libun internal versus Libun external. Meaning that when it comes to a external Libun, that's the grand prize. Meaning that I'm heating it up, I'm firing it up, and I'm going in from the outside, and I'm doing hesekel mibachutz, burning it from the outside. So as opposed to burning it from the inside, where's the food cooked? Food cooks on the outside. Food's cooked on the inside. Food's cooked internally, right? Food is always cooked on the inside. So if you want the quote unquote the best libun, which one's the best libun? Internal or external?
Internal.
Internal libun. So, if the libun happens, meaning if I'm burning and the source of heat is happening on the inside, like an oven, perfect. That's exactly the kind of libun that works all the time. It works in an oven. It would work all the time. If, however, the libun is only external, meaning it's an external source of heat, and I'm trying to get at it and try to get at the internal surface area with an external heat, not so good. So the Gemara says, "V'navid asaka bebifnim." So the Gemara says, "Okay, then now let's go back to Rav." Rav says, "You got to just get rid of all your earthenware pots and pans for Pesach. You can't use them." Wait a second. You just told me now that there's a difference between an internal libun and an external libun. Why not do an internal libun? What's the big deal? So take your pot, take your pan, your earthenware pot, and put the fire source in the middle. Take the coals and run the coals around in the middle. So the Gemara says, Chayas alei demitbarei. That's no good. With an oven, an oven can withstand the heat. You know that. So when you kosher your oven by doing internal libun, you're going to heap the coals on there, and you're going to get a real good fire going on. You'll do a good libun in an oven. If it's a pot, if it's just a kadeira, you don't know if it can take the heat. So when you do libun on your pot, you're going to be extraordinarily cautious. In fact, you're going to be so cautious that you're not going to do it right. You're not going to do it well. So the Gemara says, so as a precaution, Rav said to his people, right, to us actually, when you got earthenware pots, you just got to throw it out. Because it's true, theoretically you could do libun, and libun would get rid of the chametz, but we're so afraid that you're not going to do it correctly and properly, just, don't do it at all. Amount of heat, no. In other words, it's degree of heat. Degree of heat is the most significant. And in terms of that, Rav is essentially telling us, you're never going to do it satisfactory in an earthenware pot. It's just you're not going to do it that way. Hilkach, kuvya hasekum ibechutzu va'aser. So the Gemara says, okay. So if you have a kuvya, Rashi describes it as some sort of hollowed out tile where you cook inside. So that's like a pot. So and when I kosher it, I don't do internal heat. I do external heat, and external libun is not going to be good enough, and therefore it's going to be aser. Now the Gemara is going to shift. So now we have our fundamental differences between hagala by boiling in water versus libun. Libun works. Libun works all the time. Libun works even on kli cheres. The only qualification we've now learned is that it has to be an internal libun. It can't be an external libun. Okay, but in an oven, you do an internal libun. So therefore, it should work. Now the Gemara is going to come back and go to the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash, we learned that the ovens they used in the Beis HaMikdash were metal ovens. Now, as I described earlier this morning, metal ovens are not the best, earthenware ovens are the best. but for reasons which were not fully clear yet on understanding, they used a metal oven, not an earthenware oven. And we thought the issue was, well, you know, it's you're gonna cook inside of the oven, and you're not gonna be able to expunge the taste. We have now learned, sure, you can expunge the taste. Something called libun. Libun gets rid of the taste. So now the Gemara asks, top of Sadi Vavam and Aleph, El Kaderu Shal Mikdash Amay Yishbaru Nehadrino Lekav Shonos. So the Gemara asks a very fundamental question. So I don't understand. So if that's all you need to do, so why don't we take an oven in the base of Mikdash and make it out of earthenware? And if all you're worried about is Blia, not a problem. Not a problem. And you're worried about the Nosar, so just heat it up again and do Libun. And it's an internal Libun and it should work. Now, quickly, let's get through this Rashi. Rashi writes the following: El Kedir Shal Mikdash Amay Yishbaru. It's the top Rashi on Sadi Vav Amud Aleph. Rashi writes: Hol Veislei Takanta Belibun, because I can do Libun. How Ukimna the time of Mishem Baluahi V'lo Abisho Kapit Kra. Look, really, says Rashi, this is all about Blia. This has nothing to do with Bishol. The name of Xeris Akasavi. Unihid de Mishkan Stevi Shaber, Lefishayu Kvuin, Leoslam Kavshanis, Lefstar of Klicheres. And then Rashi says, look, by the Mishkan, I understand, meaning the Torah says Yishaber. Okay, but by the Mishkan, they didn't have a standard oven. Avav b'mikdash nadrina lekavshanish ayotz tzor fun behem v'yislabnu. But in the base of mikdash, right, you could have a permanent oven. And if the whole issue is blia, so then just do it. Now, there's a tosos which I'm not going to do, unfortunately. The first tosos on the page, the in tashkola paskula. That's a very basic tosos that talks about not bar not. Not but not the heter, not but not the isura, right? Some basic yoredei concepts. Unfortunately, I'm just not going to have the time to do it now. Okay, on your own, please go through it. Some basics, but I will, however, touch on the next tosfos. Ela kedir shal mikdash amay yishbaru tema. My kushle haytam deshvir la mishum b'liyahi ela gzeres akosov. Tosfos says about Rashi, I don't understand where Rashi is coming from. Rashi's telling us that in the base of mikdash, it's all about b'liya. No, it's not. That's not true. Meaning, yes, it's true that the Gemara earlier on the where we started the whole discussion asked, "What if I cooked without blia?" Right? What if I just cooked without blia? That was Rami Bar Chama's question. Yes, that's true. But what Rashi did now is say that the whole issue revolves around blia, and it's just, in other words, that all the Torah is trying to get out of us is, you know, if you have the taste go into the kelim and the Beis HaMikdash, we need to expunge the taste. But Tosu says, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not all about blia. In our homes, right, when we're trying to kasher our kelim, it is all about blia. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's not all about blia. Isvirle the talabav your tanner town shvira afagav the lake elabishol below balua. Look, the Gemara on the previous page, where we started this morning, you know, entertain the question about Bishol without Blia. In other words, why you right, I understand that, but why are you even entertaining that question? You're entertaining that question because in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not all about Blia. So Rabbeinu Tam Haya Omer, so unbelievable Chiddush by Rabbeinu Tam. And it really, this Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam really speaks to what Libun is. Rabbeinu Tam Haya Omer Dechashahusku Naasu Kekelim Chadashim. Rabbeinu Tam says that when you do Libun, you know what you're doing? You're recreating. The oven that you had before Libun is not the same oven that you have right now. Teda, the Amrina Bekulu Ashas, Atare Idu Akli Cheresheni Yotem Ide Dof Yav, La'olam. Look, Rabbeinu Tam says, of course I'm right. Because we know, we've gone through enough Gemara to know, in Kli Cheres, right, you never can get the taste out of Kli Cheres. Once the taste goes into Kli Cheres, it's so porous the taste never comes out. So, right. So if the taste never comes out, so what's Libun doing? So, la'olam va'amai harayotzi dofya v'adei achzaros kivshan. All you need to do is put it back into the kivshan and reignite the oven. And what happened? Elavadai kishehusku nasu kekelim chadashim vechashive kelim acherim depanim chadashus baolakan. Right, Tosos borrows a term from Baba Kama that when you make a change to an object, you don't have to return the object. Right, you stole an object, you make a change to it, you don't have to return it. You do have to reimburse. Okay, but it's a totally new object. Rabbi Antam borrows that terminology and says when you reignite an oven, same thing. Panim chadashus baolakan. It's a totally new oven. And even though in the world of Tumah it's not true, but in the world of kasher, in the world of ovens, it's a new oven. So now it's phenomenal. Take Rabbeinu Tam and you plug him into our Gemara, and our Gemara is beautiful because what the Gemara now is suggesting is if Libun really creates a new oven every time that you are malaving the oven, it's a totally new oven. So perfect. The Torah says you got to break the oven. If I do Libun. What do you mean? I know you think you're looking at the same oven. It's not the same oven. It's a new oven. Right? Panim Chadash was Baalakan. Totally new oven. Right? Reigniting the oven recreates it every single time. You're right. The Torah told me I had to do Shvira on that oven. Oh, but this is not that oven. This is a new oven. Right? It's such a brilliant way to read it in the Gemara. So the Gemara's answer, it's a zoning regulation. It's a zoning regulation. In other words, in theory it would work. We could reignite the oven and make it a totally new oven. And you're right. But in Yerushalayim, it would create too much smoke and smog. And we want to minimize the amount of smoke and smog in Yerushalayim. We want to be... Oh God! I'm going to borrow modern terms. We want to be right. We want to be green and ecologically friendly. And so therefore, we don't do it. Okay. But it's interesting. It would work in theory. It would work, right? According to Rashi, it totally gets rid of your blia. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it does more than that. It makes it a new oven. And in theory, it would work. It's just because of zoning regulations that doesn't work.
This sounds like it's not reuniting the oven. You show us the kiln, the actual oven, and you put it in a larger.
It does sound that way.
Right.
Right, but
we assume that when you self clean the oven.
That's all you need. You're right. You're right.
In a new oven.
Right. I agree with you. It doesn't. Well, the way I'm presenting the Gemara is more like what I think about, meaning the internal. And the Gemara does say on the previous Amud.
But you're presenting the Gemara is the way we act.
Right.
Also.
Right. Amar Abaye. Yeah. All right. Let's. Amar Abaye v'chi osin ashpasos b'azara. So Abaye says, okay, fine. So we're not gonna refire the oven. And okay, I understand because it's a zoning issue. We don't want to smoke up Yerushalayim. Okay, that part I get. But your solution is break it. I mean, it's not your solution; it's the Torah solution. But just break it. So you're going to have now a pile of rubble right in the Azara of broken clay cheres, and that's better, right? V'chi osin ashpasos ba'azara and right. So the right. So ash ishtemitete hadetni. So the Gemara says when Abaye asked this question, he forgot. He forgot what we learned in a Braisa. Shmaya bekal nabo. Shmaya from the town of Kal Nabo. Rashi says that town was named after idolatry, right? Shivrei kli cheres nivlain bim koman. One of the miracles that took place in the Beis Hamikdash is that what happened with the broken shards of kli cheres? They go right down into the ground. Like the walls of Yericho.
Did it happen in the second Beis Hamikdash?
It's an excellent question. It didn't, right? We normally assume these miracles didn't take place in the second Beis Hamikdash. So, okay. Elahad Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Abarvur Tanush Hamikdash Hamateches Havanavid Decheres Deasek Ben Befninu Dekevan Deikashtei Alechem Alechem Aponim Daf Yasam Betanur Ugdushasam Betanur Havei Le Klisharis Be Klisharis Decheres Lo Avdinan. And the Gemara says, and when the ovens in the Beis Hamikdash were made out of metal. So the Gemara says it's an internal hesek, so it kashers it. So the Gemara says yes, but you also have to remember when you're talking about your chatas meat, so it doesn't need a kli sharis. It just needs to be cooked. But there are certain things in the base of mikdash that need a kli sharis. Now, kli sharis can only be made out of metal. There's no such thing as earthenware kli sharis, right? The menorah is made out of gold, and the Gemara in Sukkah in the fifth parak tells us that it has to be gold-like, meaning it has to be a metal. You cannot make clay sharis out of non-metal material. Now, there is an opinion, just one second, there is an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda who says that you can make clay sharis out of wood, but even Rabbi Yehuda, Gemara is going to make this point in just a moment, even Rabbi Yehuda only goes so far as wood. Nothing past wood. So metal and wood, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And we don't even pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So for us, kli sharis is only made out of metal. So the Gemara says, and the lechem upon him, and the shtei lechem, and they need kli sharis. So therefore, daf yasam betanor, kedusha yasam betanor, they're niskadesh in the oven. Havale kli sharis, kli sharis techeres lo avdinan. And we can't make kli sharis out of cheres. The afilu Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, it's not Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, lo kamer ela de'etz, aval techeres lo. Even the most extreme position of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is wood, but not earthenware. Okay, I want to do this next piece, and then we'll stop for this morning. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda have a ragu kamei derami bar chama. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda was a student by Rami Bar Chama, Shavke. Okay, so he leaves his rebbe. Okay, he feels like it's not working out with him and his rebbe. So he leaves his rebbe and he leaves Rami Bar Chama. Shavke ba'azal Rav Sheshes. So he goes and he learns by Rav Sheshes. Okay, this is second generation Amoraim. So Rav Sheshes Yumachad Paga Bay. So now Rami Bar Chama bumps into his old student, and you can only imagine they're not happy with one another. So Yumachad Pagabe Amarle Al Kafta Naktan Recha Asile Liyad. So, and Rashi explains it's an expression. Rashi here says that when you hold the hand of the duke, Rashi actually uses the word duke. When you hold the hand of the duke, so you know the smell rubs off. The duke goes out in the morning and he's nice and fragranced, and so when you hold his hand, you get a smell. And Rami Bar Chama accuses his student. You know why you went to Rav Sheshes? Because you want to be with Rav Sheshes. Meaning Rav Sheshes is a big gun. Not just a big Talmid Chacham, but he's also very prominent. And your move to Rav Sheshes is all about prominence. Mishum da'azel sechala kamed Rav Sheshes, havi lech ki Rav Sheshes. You think you're going to go to Rav Sheshes because, you know, you want to be like Rav Sheshes. Amar leila, mishum hachi. So he says to his old Rebbe, no, that's not it. It's not about prominence. It's not about my ego. Mar ki ba'ina milsta pashalei meisvara. He says, I'll tell you, and... You know, this is an uncomfortable conversation. He says, but I'll tell you what it is. You, Rami Bar Chama, I had a question. I asked you a question, so you gave me an answer, but it wasn't grounded in a Mishnah or a Braisa. It was simply from your Svara. It was based on your logic. And then what I do is I find a Braisa that contradicts your logic, and you have nothing to say to me. So in other words, you're not grounded enough in Mishnayos and Braisos, and you speak too much from the hip, and I don't like it. I don't like that style. Rav Sheshes kibeina milsa minei pashuli memasnisa techinami mishkacha masnisa uparcha masnisa. I'm sorry, masnisa umasnisa hi. So, but on the other hand, I ask a question for Rav Sheshes. His answers always come from sources. Right. And even if I find a Mishnah that contradicts, but it's contradicting a Mishnah, and so his answer remains grounded. Right. So that's why I moved to Rav Sheshes.
So one keeps it to the text, and the other one doesn't.
Right. So Amalei by Minei Milsa Di'ashalach. So Rav Sheshes says, Rami Bar Chama says to his old student, Rav Yitzchak, so you know what, let's try this again. Ask me a question, let's see how this works out. And by the way, it's not going to be good. It's not, I'm telling you. Kimas nisa baminei. Bishop makes us kli tamariku shtifa olauton. So he says, let's say I cook in only part of a utensil. Do I need to kasher the whole utensil? So Amalei ain't oton. So the answer, Rami Bar Chama says, is nah, you don't need to. You only, much like by clothing we said you need spot treatment, by a clay, but when you cook in a kli, you only need to kasher the part that you cooked in. So Amr le mistaber kebeged ma beged in tongue keep us ela makum hadam afklich kli in a tamariko shifa ela bamakum shti. He says really it's no different than hazaz dam. So Amr le, so Rav Yitzchak says to his old Rebbe Rami Bar Chama, me dame, really that's the comparison? Dam lo mefafeya bisho mefafeya. I don't understand. Blood, when blood lands on my garment, the blood doesn't spread out through the rest of my garment. It stays in one place. So when I launder, I only need to launder that one place. I only need to do spot treatment. But when I'm cooking in a utensil, right, it sends it out throughout the entire utensil. The otanya. And not only that, but I have a brisa. I have a brisa. Chomer baza memiriku shtiva. Chomer memiriku shtiva meaza. Chomer baza shaza yeshna bechatas achitzono bechatas apnimios. Right, when it comes to the sprinkling of the blood, it applies to chatas, inner chatas, outer chatas, v'yeshel lefnei zrika, and also before zrika, I have to remove the blood stain. Mashein came by memiriku shtiva. By memiriku shtiva, you don't have that. Meaning it applies to all karbanos. Mm-hmm. It applies to all karbanos. This is going like the Tanakam of our Mishnah, not like Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. But that's fine. Bishul b'miksas akli tal meriku shifa kol akli. Ma she'en kein b'hazah. And also, when it comes to cooking, it goes throughout the entire pot. I need to do meriku shifa in the entire pot. Ma she'en kein, when it comes to the blood, I only need to do spot treatment. So I'm relayed. So now, what does Rami Bar Chama give? I will say this now, his standard answer, which is Itanya Tanya. Well, what am I going to tell you? It's a Braisa, and if it's a Braisa, so I can't say anything against the Braisa. Point proven. Meaning that's exactly what Rav Yitzchak left Rami Bar Chama. Because he asked the question, Rami Bar Chama gave a Svara. The Svara wasn't good. It contradicted a Braisa, and the Svara, by the way, wasn't good on top of that. So, v'taima mayam akravim b'klina choshes bushala ve'afil b'miksas kli. The Gemara says that even based on the Pesukim, even if it's miksas kli, even if it's part of a kli, I still need to do mriku shtifa on the entire kli.
Shouldn't have asked him a question, we knew the answer.